To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of a roadside meadow and tree line underneath a cloud-filled September sky comes to us from yours truly as I felt moved to just stop and grab this moment of simple scenic beauty while I was driving through the Westerlo, New York area on September 21st, which was, if you don't recall, the last day of summer 2021. I share it for its simple beauty, but also because it features a road, which represents moving forward and making progress. It's Thursday, and I share photos or pictures of pathways or roadways of some sort today as a reminder or an encouragement to take the opportunity to step on to or keep walking on the path of Christian discipleship. That is defined by a life walking in the Spirit, and which leads to the growth of the fruit of the Spirit and increasing levels of maturity in our Christian faith. It just also happens to be the path that leads to freedom. I am teaching the Freedom in Christ Discipleship course from Freedom in Christ Ministries this evening at Rock Solid Church in Hudson, New York, and I invite anyone local to join us at 6:30 p.m., For those not within driving distance of the church, I have already uploaded a podcast version of the teaching for the first three lessons and will be uploading the fourth installment after tonight's class. So if you want to be encouraged in your faith to learn something new or to be equipped with the tools to overcome or to help others overcome personal and spiritual conflicts, join us for class. Well, yesterday we started a series in where we started an investigation in the question of what is a Christian or is this person a Christian? The children's show Blue's Clues was in the news recently because they celebrated 25 years of programming, I was motivated to channel the inquiring spirit of Blue and that inquisitive theme to help us look at the questions of our faith and to help us examine the clues that would tell us if people we encountered were real or authentic Christians. And yesterday we looked at the significant clue of church membership or attendance as a good indicator, but not a guarantee, of whether someone was an authentic Christian. So today, when I asked Blue, one source states that the color blue signifies the healing power of God. Anyway, when I asked Blue, which clue we would be looking for today, in my imagination, Blue was holding a small mirror. In our dialogue with me asking questions and Blue murmuring as she does, I was able to discern that before we started looking for any more clues about other people's authentic Christianity, Blue wanted me to make sure I was a real Christian. So I thought about the question. What in my life made me know I was a Christian? Now, while our self-examination may prove helpful to determine whether those around us are Christians, it is the question of our identity as a Christian that is really the most important thing that we can investigate and confirm. You know, am I a Christian? It's the most important thing you should know. Because without it, you know, bad consequences. Anyway, Blue really turned the tables on us today because while we started to look for clues in the outside world about other people, she wanted us to play fair and put ourselves to the test too. So if someone, you know, were to ask you when you became a Christian or how you became a Christian, what would you say, boys and girls? Well, the state of grace that determines whether or not someone is a Christian has to do with whether or not we are saved from God's wrath by having a reconciled relationship with God through putting our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, this verse tells us that we are saved only if we confess, which means to agree with, that Jesus is our Lord, and that we believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, meaning that we believe that Christ dying on the cross was meaningful, that it paid the cost of our sins, and that Christ's resurrection proved that he was the Son of God and God the Son. Confessing with our mouths the Lord Jesus means we not only publicly identify with Jesus Christ as our Savior, but agree to live according to what Jesus taught, to be obedient. The Apostle Peter, who was able to walk on water when he obeyed Christ's call to come, wrote in 1 Peter 1, 13-15, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." I point to this verse in the fact that our conduct should be changed when we become Christians, because many people don't understand the implications of confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And I wanted to make it clear that there is more than just saying a prayer to being a Christian. But let's make first things first. Although we as Christians are supposed to become holy in our conduct, our entrance into God's kingdom starts with that verbal confession. We must name and proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior before we can successfully live like a Christian. We can't become holy first, nor are we required to. That's like going through boot camp before you sign up for military service. It doesn't work that way. You sign an agreement with the service, and then the kind and gentle drill sergeants will train and encourage you to become a soldier. Like military service, when you sign up to be in Christ's army, you are literally signing your life away. So, if we are looking in the mirror and trying to determine if we look like a Christian, we should stop and ask ourselves, have I honestly confessed the Lord Jesus with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead? Did I sign my life away and to be saved and agree to make Jesus my Lord? You know, when we look in the mirror, that's like looking at our performance. Hey, do I measure up? No. You know, when we come to faith in Christ, it's got to be about, you know, did I confess with my mouth, as the Word of God says? And that confession, as you say, it says confess the Lord Jesus. That means you're making him your Lord. For me, I can point to a specific time and place when I did that. I heard a gospel message on the radio, and because of it, I really believed in my heart, not just intellectually, that God had raised Christ from the dead, and that if I made Christ my Lord, I would be saved. So have you ever done that, boys and girls? If you don't believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead by God, the whole idea will just seem like nonsense to you, and you'll be hesitant to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You won't want to tell your friends, co-workers, or family. You won't want to tell anyone about this crazy story of how a man dying on the cross has meaning and purpose. That Christ's sacrifice on the cross is used to cause a reconciliation with an unseen God and man, and that it gives eternal life to anyone that names Jesus their Lord and Savior. So hopefully, most of you reading this or hearing this message today will say you have done this. You have confessed the Lord Jesus. If you haven't and want to, repeat with me or read this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Christ died for me and rose from the grave. I trust Jesus alone as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I now have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, you just signed your life away and joined God's kingdom as his beloved child. You are a Christian. You no longer have to fear death because you have been forgiven of all your sins and have eternal life. From this point forward, because you named Jesus as your Lord, you should endeavor to follow the one who saved you by reading the Word of God and applying its teachings to your life, step by step, one day at a time. Our Christian faith is not about perfection. It's about progress. We don't beat ourselves up when we fail. We pick ourselves up because God's forgiven us and is encouraging us to walk into the abundant life that he wants us to experience. So keep walking and talking with God. Our faith doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be continuous. So rejoice in your salvation and take another step toward today towards the good things that God has prepared for you. This morning's meditation verse is Psalm 119:11 from the New King James Version. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Today's verse teaches us why we should read the Bible and meditate on its truth. Well, as we may have welcomed some people into the kingdom today, they may be wondering, now what? Well, the good news is that you can rest. You no longer have to fear what happens when you die. You have been given eternal life because of God's grace. You didn't have to earn it. You should be filled with joy and gratitude for having been shown the truth of the gospel and for receiving forgiveness and new spiritual life. The next step, we should learn about the God who gave us mercy and grace by reading his word. Start with the New Testament to learn all about Jesus and pay attention to his teaching to learn how we should behave as Christians. Think about those truths as you go about your day and try to live according to them. That's what today's verse is teaching us and motivating us to do. For if we hide the truths of God's word in our heart, we might not sin against God. I like the fact that the verse says might. I like to imagine that God understands that we won't be perfect in our walk, but still encourages us to express our love for him by reading his word, meditating on it, and doing what it says. So if you don't have a regular practice of reading and meditating on God's word, start today and commit yourself to a regular practice of drawing close to God by studying his word. The Bible is true. And today's verse encourages us that if we hide its truth in our hearts, we just might not sin against God. So put the word to the test by hiding it in your heart and experience its power to transform your mind and change your behavior. Not because you're trying hard, but because you are learning to be the person that God has made you to be, and because he has given you the power to become it. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org to where I share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Let's see. Today, we begin a new resource, and new resource is from June Hunt, and the new resource's name is The Blended Family, God's Recipe for Success. The announcement on the podcast today is that my girlfriend and I have agreed in principle to be married and selected a date. So she has kids, I have kids. So the blended family seemed like an appropriate resource to start sharing. So if you want to see the blended family, today I share the introduction and some basic definitions that June Hunt has made. So if you want to check that out, learn all about the blended family, God's recipe for success, go to mtforchrist.org to share it. Let's see. And as I said, I encourage people to go to our discipleship class this evening, come to the class, or you can listen via the podcast after I upload the lesson late this evening, I would imagine. So it'll be there in the morning if you don't want to stay up. And always, like I say, we encourage people to check out our other classes that we have. We have Victory Over the Darkness and the Bondage Breaker, and we also have Bible study discussions with Arthur and Susanna Cincotti that we do each week. We put a lot of resources out there on the blog, mtforchrist.org, and on the podcast, mtforchrist247. Because we want to encourage people to live out their faith, to experience the power that happens when you start to live according to your faith, believing it and receiving it and walking in it. In my life, it's led to increasing peace. Not that it was always peaceful, but it'll help you deal with the negative circumstances you face in life, too. Because when you walk with God, you know he's with you and he gives you wisdom and power and strength to walk through anything, and he just might bless you too. So, Lord, let me close this out in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together today. Another day in your kingdom, Lord, to celebrate the fact that you love us and you saved us and you are encouraging us to be more like you. Lord, we just pray for the people listening today that the Holy Spirit would anoint their lives, would give them revelations and encouragement to move forward in their faith. Lord, we pray for provision and blessings and favor for everyone listening. And Lord, we also know that we have a fallen world where there's sickness. And Lord, we pray for healing for anyone listening today and for their loved ones. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.